Yo, what's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Below the Means. Today, once again, we will be talking about money, my favorite topic, like the things I do for some money. But that today, more specifically, we'll be talking about stocks and what a stock is. So a stock is a share of ownership in a company. And when you buy a stock, you're investing into a company with the intention that it's going to perform well. So when the demand of the stock goes up, its value goes up along with it. So the more shares of a company you have, the more you own of a company. But most people don't even buy enough shares of a company to have any type of real influence. For example, you could invest and own 10% of a company, which is actually a lot, but that doesn't really mean you have a say in what goes on in the company. You may have more of a say than others, but that's not really much motion. And you're rarely ever actually going to buy a stock from the company directly. It's usually from someone trying to sell theirs. And companies sell their stocks as a way for them to raise money without taking out loans they would have to pay back, which means they'd have to pay interest on them, and that gets really expensive. And all these buying and selling of stocks happen through a stock exchange or an online brokerage such as Webull or Robinhood, which acts as like a middleman for you and the company itself, or whoever's trying to sell you their shares. Some of these platforms do charge a small fee, and some are free, but each online brokerage does have its own set layout and features that are different, so you're going to want to do more research and look further into which one works for you. I like Webull. I think it's the simplest, and I like the way it's formatted, but I know a lot of people use Robinhood or even TradingView to do their trading. I used to trade stocks in my earlier days of trading, but now I trade stock options. Through stock options, I'm buying a contract that gives me the right to buy or sell 100 shares of a stock at a given time, regardless if the stock price goes up or down. For example, say I'm buying a candy bar for $2 and it goes up to $5. I have the right to still buy the candy bar for $2. Even though it costs $5 now. And we could even apply it, take it a little further. Let's say the candy, like a week later, the candy bar is now $5.50. Because I have the right to still buy it for $2, I could sell back that candy bar to someone else and make a $3.50 profit. But someone who, say, just bought it yesterday for $5 could only make a 50-cent profit if they decide to sell it to somebody. A lot of people say options are more risky than trading regular stocks. That's just because you could lose the money just as fast as you make it. If the value of the stock goes against your contract, you have a lot less time to save yourself because the value of these contracts go up and down a lot faster. The biggest downside I see with trading options is that you cannot hold them indefinitely like you could hold stocks. These contracts, you could only hold for a certain amount of time, meaning they have an expiration date. And this could be a good thing in some people's cases, but the further the expiration date is away from the date you bought the option contract, the more expensive the contract is. But I guess that could act sort of like a safety net. But you need to really think about it. Are you making more money if you're spending a lot more money on the contract? And another downside is the longer you hold the option contract, like the closer it gets to its expiration date, the less valuable it becomes. And this is called time decay. You cannot hold these options forever. And the longer you hold them, the less profit you'll make, even if it goes in your favor. I've held options contracts long enough to a point where even though the stock price was above my initial investment, I still was in the negatives because the contract lost so much value in the time decay. To try to avoid this time decay problem, and also because I'm just really impatient, I use a trading strategy called scalping. And it's just going in and out of the market as fast as possible. Like, instead of having to worry about holding these contracts for days and having to calculate the time decay on them, and I'm just in the market probably an hour most. Like, I'll buy a contract that only lasts a day to 3 days, and I'll just sell within the same hour that I bought the contract. And the thing that sucks about that is sometimes they're just not the opportunity that day to be profitable in trading, and at that point I just won't make a trade. But time decay really does kill your contract sometimes, so you want to be really wary of that. But that's the best thing about trading, I guess, is there's just so many different strategies and techniques that you could use. Like, you could be a long-term investor, meaning you're holding not just options contracts, but just regular stocks for weeks to months. Or you could be short-term, holding it for a couple of days, like throughout the week. And that's what bothers me the most, when people aren't, not to say successful at trading, but when they give up so soon, because there's just so many ways you could go about it. It's less about doing it right and more about just doing what's right for you. Like, you have to do what works for you. The same strategy I use isn't going to work for everyone, but you just need to test and gauge everything before you call it quits. Even just scratching the surface, not strategy wise, but there's fundamental trading and there's technical analysis. Technical analysis is reading chart patterns to try to predict price movement in the market. And you're using things such as technical indicators on the online brokerage that you use to try to help you gauge where the price is going. And then there's fundamental analysis, which is you look at stock market news, you analyze how the company is performing, you look at their balance sheets, you look at their progress reports, and that should help give you an idea of where the stock is going. And it also is dependent on, a lot of people say it's also dependent on how people feel about the stock. If people really like the stock, that means it's going to be more expensive, like the price is going to go up. And if people aren't really feeling the stock so much, that means it's going to be a bad investment. It probably won't go up much and the stock price will probably go down. But in my personal opinion, I think it goes deeper than that. I don't think us people really have a say in what really goes on in the market. For example, I was walking to class one day, and my friend, he was trading that morning while I was in class, and he texted me, "The bulls are in," meaning like the people that are buying the stock thinking is gonna go up, they're buying heavily right now. And in my head, I'm like, we really don't have much influence on the market. The people that really move the market around is the big banks and the people buying hundreds of millions of shares of stocks. Us regular people, we're kind of just along for the ride. And that kind of bothers me, because that means you could just take what you could get out of the market. We can't try to predict it really, or we can't try to influence it in any real way. It's not really up to us. No matter how much we think it is, it's not really up to us. It's about how people feel, but it's more like how the banks feel. It's about the banks' feelings. It's about the big movers' feelings. It's not about us regular people's feelings. Here's another example. There's this guy named Jerome Powell, and he's the chair of the Federal Reserve in the United States. And I kid you not, every time this man speaks, the stock market either shoots up or shoots down. Like, we could do this together one day. We open up the stock market on a day Jerome Powell is speaking, and you'll just see it go crazy in one direction or the other. That man has the influence, him himself, to change the direction of the stock market. Another person, Nancy Pelosi, I'm sure you've all heard of her. She's required to share her stock portfolios with the public. And a lot of people say she has insider information with trading, like a lot of people in the government do, which isn't allowed, but they do have some type of inside information. And whenever she puts a certain stock in her portfolio, once people view it in the public, that stock also performs well. So I'm just here to say, like, if you do take your time to do some fundamental analysis, you're going to want to look at the hardcore facts, like progress reports, balance sheets, earnings reports, because people's feelings do sway the market, but not the average people's feelings. Our feelings don't matter. It's the higher ups and how they feel about a stock and its performance. Just this week, I was on TikTok because that's a great source of information. Honestly, it may not seem like it, but you really can form the algorithm to show you things you want to see. So I see a lot of stock news information and what's going on in the public's eye about the stock market. And somebody noticed that Nancy Pelosi had a stock called Pixies Oncology in her portfolio. And right when, and that stock was around $1.40. But once that information came out that Nancy Pelosi was holding it, and people knowing that she has insider information, the stock went up to $6 or $7 in the next 2 days. And that same day, I was texting my friend like, yo, we got to invest in this. We got to see what happens. And he's like, nah, we still have time. There's so much time left. And it went on a crazy bullish run, meaning it went up a lot. And then right when the hype went away, the stock price went back down. So you just got to notice these type of things. Like when the people with a lot of power are making moves, you need to watch them as well, because that could really help you capitalize on a lot of these situations. But that's just some food for thought before I end up going on a little rant. But yeah, those that say that trading is too risky, so they don't want to get into it, or stock options are too risky, we're here to get rich. We're not here to make lunch money. like I always say, you gotta spend the money to make the money. This isn't a game anymore. We're aiming for the big leagues, because that's when we'll really have some type of motion. But just to help some of y'all out that are still having that mindset, you should still have some investments going, even if you're not active trading. Because investments is how you develop some type of generational wealth, something you could pass on to. For example, you could invest in a Roth IRA, which I guess it could be considered a retirement account. But you put, for example, say $100 each month into this account, and by the time you turn, I'd say 50, I think 50 is the age you could withdraw the money without any tax, without getting taxed on it, you should have around over $1 million. So that's a safe bet for you. Or you could invest in the S&P 500, which is the top 500 stocks performing in the United States into one section. And if you invest in that after about 10 years, you're guaranteed a 10% return on your investment. So that's also a safe option. You guys need to look into these things, because regardless, you should be investing your money. You can't just make the money and spend it. You can't just make the check and spend the check. It has to go somewhere. You have to make the money work for you and work for itself. So just keep that in mind, y'all. Chase the bag.